The Wake Up Zone continues, 7:18 the time on 104.5 The Zone. Going to have Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network here with us shortly. The all-SEC teams were announced yesterday. Grant Williams from Tennessee won Player of the Year, the Associated Press voting. Also was a first-team all-conference for the second year in a row. His teammates Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone were both second-team all-SEC. I was joking earlier, I'm happy that Mark isn't here this morning. We had a whole big argument last week about who should win Coach of the Year in the SEC, and his vote was for Kermit Davis, and I said, well, if they're right around 500 in the league, would he win it over, say, Will Wade, who had LSU at the top, or maybe Rick Barnes or some of the others, and Kermit ends up winning. Tyler Hero of Kentucky was the freshman of the year.
Man, who are the guys that made it over Admiral and Bone?
Well, we'll have to examine the whole list.
Yeah, man, we're going to have to do that. That's a project.
Yeah. Dane Bradshaw is with us, Vol for Life, and SEC Network analyst. Dane, what's going on this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad to be on with you.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. When you look at Grant Williams, we're talking about him winning Player of the Year in the SEC. You know, how interesting is it to see a guy who went from an unheralded recruit into, first-team all-conference and now Player of the Year after, the terrific seasons that he's had in a Tennessee uniform?
He was making an impact this freshman season. And I remember calling some of those games and asking Rick Barnes, like, hey, man, is this, this unheralded recruit from Charlotte in better than you expected? And he goes, no, not at all. He said, if anything, he's underachieving right now. He can be better than P.J. Tucker was, all that. I go, wow, okay. And so the ceiling was pretty high in Rick Barnes and the coaching staff's eyes. And, man, they pushed him. He pushed himself, his training and conditioning staff, and got better every single year. And I think he always had the maturity to handle the spotlight. You can see that, how he presents himself, carries himself. And this year, when he's sitting there, the target on his back, with all the preseason expectations, not only for the team that you have to carry on your shoulders, but then individually as the reigning SEC Player of the Year. Because usually reigning SEC Player of the Year, he's already in the NBA. And so it's not that typical to be preseason predicted that way as far as the reigning part. And he handled it extremely well. And you guys would have to look it up. I forget the exact time, but I want to say in all the years that they've been picking the SEC, preseason media Player of the Year, I'm not sure there's a time where the player actually won it. It seems like every single year people think this kid's going to win it. It ends up being somebody else. And so to just reach the expectations, meet them, I think really says a lot about Grant Williams, especially when he had the target on his back all season long.
Dane, how do you look at how Tennessee finished its regular season, with the game at Auburn, and how much better defensively are they going to have to beat it to really make it run when it counts in the NCAA tournament?
Now, one of the things that really separated them a season ago was the fact that they were not only one of the top offensive teams in efficiency, but also defensive, and they can certainly be that. But I think, if anything, there's times where they were on the road, and at Kentucky, that was the timing of that was a wake-up call. Kentucky coming off of a loss, Tennessee riding high and all that. And then, at LSU, they played hard, and, a couple breaks didn't go their way. And then Auburn, you kind of get out of character a little bit, which that arena tends to do. And Bruce Pearl's game plan was great. You would like to see them get a couple more of those tough road environment victories, but that doesn't really change my opinion of how far they can go in the NCAA tournament. I mean, just because they lost at Auburn, lost at LSU, it doesn't mean I think that they don't know how to close out games or can't handle tough environments. So I believe they'll be fine. Really, when they came into the year, it was like, oh, wow, they're a top five team. That might be a little bit high. And my thought was, hey, as long as they can get somewhere close to that, get around a two seed, I think that gives them plenty of opportunity to make that Final Four run. And it looks like, unless they win the SEC tournament, looks like that's right about where they'll land.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Dane Bradshaw's our guest from the SEC Network. Dane, when you look at the SEC tournament this week here in Nashville, how hard is it to predict what the top three seeds are going to do? With LSU having the situation where their head coach is suspended, Kentucky having Reed Travis, limited, sounds like he's going to play, but you don't know how much. Tennessee being a veteran team and kind of up and down and inconsistent at times. How do you sort out those three, which we'll all see on Friday afternoon and evening here in Nashville?
Yeah, I think the most interesting part is certainly the LSU thing, not only because of their situation, but because of, you know, where that matchup could land, because they've got Arkansas, Florida. Florida beat them on their own court and took them to overtime in Gainesville. Arkansas took them down to the wire in Fayetteville and then beat them on their own court as well. So those are two teams that have been able to play LSU. Not, it wasn't just a fluke one time. I mean, they took them down to the wire once and they beat them once. And so I think that Florida-Arkansas game in the second round on Thursday, that could end up being the sort of sleeper team that all of a sudden ends up in the semifinals with an opportunity to make it all the way to Sunday. And that's not all just because of distractions for LSU. I don't think they'll be distracted. I think it's a mix of, will you have your roster? Will you have your head coach? But more importantly, who's on the other side of the bracket from you?
Our guest is Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network.
Yes, Dane, what do you think is actually going to happen with the LSU situation? Because it really could hurt the SEC, because in the SEC tournament, if they win it, how will the NCAA view it as far as being eligible for the tournament with, I guess, no rules enforced at this point?
Yeah, I think, though, to me, I think the committee will still look at their entire body of work. And because LSU has proven, especially in that case, look, if they win the whole thing, it's one thing to win without Will Wade against Vanderbilt at home to clinch an SEC title. I mean, look, they played extremely well, and I think their assistant coach, Tony Benford, is more than prepared to take over the job. But there hasn't been, because this happened so late in the season, it's not as if, all right, they were a projected one seed, Will Wade goes out, and they go 2-4 to end the year. Like, even if they get bounced early in the SEC tournament, there's not enough there to say, oh, look what's happening, you know, to the Tigers. So I think, you know, they'll get their fair seed with or without their coach, with or without Javonte Smart. And another example I'd point to, if I'm speaking on behalf of LSU to the NCAA committee, it's like, well, wait a minute. Tremont Waters, you know, was a candidate for SEC Player of the Year, one of the top point guards in the country. He was out and we beat Tennessee. And, you know, we went, I think they went 2-0 without him, and Javonte Smart was sensational. And, you know, if Javonte Smart can replace Tremont Waters, I promise you, Tremont Waters can replace Javonte Smart. So I think their body of work and how they've proven to be resilient throughout the season should get them the seed that, whether you want to say they deserve it, you know, based on how their team may have been structured. But the results themselves, I think, put them in that maybe final two seeds or first three seed spot.
Okay. How many NCAA tournament teams you think could get in from the SEC? Will it be a record this year?
Well, you know, I think they're in a little bit of danger zone, really. And it could be as much as eight. But I thought, going back to the final game of SEC play, Ole Miss's win at Missouri was huge, because you had three bubble teams. You had Alabama, Ole Miss, Florida. And if they all three went winless down the stretch, all of a sudden you went from 8-5. Ole Miss gets the much-needed victory. They should be a lock. Florida and Alabama both would feel a lot better if they could get one win. And the good news for them is, you know, the one win they could get would be quality enough. Alabama could beat Ole Miss. That'd be huge. Florida's already in right now. So while Arkansas isn't a huge win, it's a good win and could solidify their spot. But if Florida and Alabama both lose in their opening games, you could be looking at six teams from the SEC.
And Rick Barnes, man, I'm a little disappointed. He's had an exceptional year. Not that he didn't get coach of the year, but, man, what a heck of a find and a hire. Back-to-back years, you know, five losses, three losses here in the SEC. Man, I think him and Calipari kind of get looked past because the expectations are already there because of their history.
I totally agree. It's, you know, you're a victim of your own success. Standard that you set. Mm-hmm. And because the expectations were so high, which you should get credit for as a coach of coming into the year that way and being able to meet them. And I don't just say that for Rick Barnes. I say it for Calipari and how he's able to do it pretty much year after year. That meeting expectations that are so lofty is sometimes harder than exceeding expectations when nobody's looking at you. And I think you have to weigh both of those. We're often slanted towards the Cinderella story, and rightfully so, at times with somebody like Kermit Davis. And I don't think they could have gone wrong. I do believe that they, with Kermit Davis, very well deserving to be projected to finish 14th, get that team to rally, come back and make themselves a NCAA contender. I think a lot of it had to do with how the season ended. If Tennessee ended with a share of the title or maybe only one loss in SEC play, I think Rick Barnes gets it. If Ole Miss loses that game at Missouri and all of a sudden they're outside of Joe Lunardi's bracketology, now it's, hey, great job, Ole Miss, but by the time we're voting here, we don't even know if he's made the tournament or not. I think the fact that Ole Miss got that final win looks like a lot. I think that sealed the deal for Kermit Davis.
Dame Bradshaw, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. From the SEC Network and, of course, of Vol for Life, Dame Bradshaw joining us on the Wake Up Zone. Coming up at 8:05, a little over a half hour from now, going to have your chance to win tickets for the SEC tournament, so make sure you're here for that. A little more about the all-SEC squads and more on this Russell Westbrook incident in Utah last night. More Wake Up Zone coming up. This is 104.5 The Zone.